Tuesday, I'm Ken DeCoster, and in just a moment, we will be touching base with 16th District Congressman Don Manzullo, who will discuss a couple of items. Number one, the ongoing environmental crisis in the Gulf of Mexico, and number two, some ongoing concerns concerning the cost of health care and health insurance. Congressman Manzullo, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Ken.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
If you had the chance to speak directly to BP President Tony Hayward, what would you say to him?
Well, I was down in the Gulf about day 10 of the spill and got on board a Coast Guard plane and went over the area there. But if I could talk to the head of BP, I would simply say, don't waste $50 million on TV ads. Take that money and use it to help pay restitution for those whose lives have been destroyed, because of the spill. And second of all, to say, we'll go along with the proposed trust fund that the Obama administration has sought, and put amounts of money in there, but also make sure that there has to be a way that the people who obtain money from BP, that the claims are legitimate. I mean, for example, President Obama has asked BP to pay for the loss of wages to those people who no longer work on the rigs because the Obama administration has placed a six-month moratorium on all new exploration, whether in shallow water or deep water. I mean, that's absurd. You're talking about 100,000 jobs in the Gulf to start with. So that's what I would say to the head of BP.
Are you confident that BP will meet its full financial obligations for cleaning up the Gulf?
Sure, Ken, but I do know this, is that boycotting BP does not help BP stay in business so they can generate the money to pay the claims. So I think what's important is that there be no boycott of BP, but let the revenues come in so that they can take a good portion of them or all of them for a period of time, or at least profits, and to put them into the trust fund.
Our guest is Congressman Don Manzullo. He is speaking to us from Washington. Should you have any questions or comments for the congressman, our phone number is 815-874-8255. Do you support lifting the $75 million cap on the amount of oil companies are required to pay for economic losses?
Oh, absolutely. The cap was imposed, the $75 million cap was imposed just as a matter of strict liability. In other words, if you cause the injury or damage, then you should pay for it. There were always exceptions made that if you were grossly negligent or what you did was intentional, then you could exceed the $75 million cap. But that cap should be lifted. I mean, it's nowhere near the amount. When I was down in the Gulf several weeks ago, they were blowing through close to $20 million a day. And the amount of money they're spending per day probably has doubled or tripled.
The president will address the nation tonight from the Oval Office regarding the ongoing crisis in the Gulf. What do you expect the president to say tonight, Don?
Well, I don't know what he can say, but I can say what he could have done. And obviously, looking at life through a rearview mirror is different than if you could stay focused and could see what enveloped the president. Should have exercised his authority as the commander-in-chief by bringing all these agencies together and say, stop the crap. Bobby Jindal, who's the governor of Louisiana, was begging and pleading and crying for permits to move sand. And the Army Corps of Engineers sat around, took 3.5 weeks, and they're worried about this permit and that permit. The president could have stepped in and said, look, I'm in charge. Issue that permit ASAP. Right now, do it. And he could have ordered these agencies to do things as opposed to let them go through this review and that review. And, I mean, all you have, Ken, is this. You have something called unified command. I was at their command headquarters. It's about an hour outside of New Orleans. And all the agencies were there, and I asked, who's in charge? And I was told the Department of Homeland Security is in charge. I said, okay. But the question really wasn't deep enough. I should have said, who's in charge of the cleanup, not who's in charge of all the government agencies? And there are so many government agencies involved in this thing, that's the problem. They stumble all over each other. And that's what the president could have done, was to say, look, I'm taking charge of this thing, and Bobby Jindal, you want a permit? Okay, I'll give you, within 24 hours, we'll give you a permit to move that sand. And there's a small town that has a cove. I think it's in Alabama. They didn't wait for all these permits. They took a bunch of barges and put them across the mouth of the bay that opens up into the ocean. And first, they were threatened to be sued by the EPA and some other great agencies. They said, no, you can go ahead and sue us. We're going to protect our harbors first. That's where the whole problem has been. You have all these federal government bureaucrats that are stumbling all over each other, and no one's in charge. And that's why the president has taken a lot of blame on this, rightly or not rightly. The president is still in charge of running this country, and he's the one that has to shoulder the burden of it.
Is this environmental crisis, Congressman, another reason to wean the U.S. off of fossil fuels?
I don't think so, Ken. First of all, the administration is using this crisis, instead of focusing on cleaning up that Gulf, they're going to come back with cap and trade again. They want to impose higher taxes on gasoline. As it stands now, if you shut down offshore drilling, that's about 30% of what the U.S. uses. People say, well, we need more wind and solar. I agree, but that's less than 1% of the total energy that's produced now. I mean, you know, we are addicted to fuel, oil, and that addiction is definitely there, but that does not mean that we don't pursue any other and all remedies, electric, solar, call it what you want. In addition to using oil for our trucks and other vehicles.
Once again, our guest is Congressman Don Manzullo. Our phone number is 874-8255. Dave, thank you for calling. Say hello to the congressman.
Hello, Congressman.
Good morning, Dave. How are you today?
Well, I could be better. Hey, when will we ever see government officials or CEOs go to jail for the bailouts, the mine disasters, the BP problem? I mean, I never see anyone ever go to jail. And if there is, can you point one out, please?
People went to jail when the Texas magnate Enron went under. People have gone to jail, and seen the guy who's the head of another organization, another CEO, several CEOs have gone to jail for criminal conduct.
Didn't Hazel...
You know, Madoff on that end, but yeah. People that took money, the guy that had the $8,000 shower curtains.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of his organization. It was it was Tyco, the head of Tyco, that it got split in the threes on. But if there's criminal liability, which is more than... You know, that's an intentional act to do something wrong, or if the actions are so aggravating that they could rise to the level of criminal conduct. Now, Eric Holder, the Attorney General, is in the Gulf, and documents are being revealed. In fact, there's a hearing today, I think over on our side, for the House Energy and Commerce Committee, that's going through a half a dozen memos that if they're interpreted the way people think they should be in the plain language, it shows a carelessness and outright indifference to the safety of the people of that area. Instead of using, for example, 21 stops that go on to the chokehold on that pipe, they only use 6. And if they skimp so much, it's no different than somebody who puts in a smaller amount of concrete into a building just to save and cheat on the amount of concrete in the building collapses and kills somebody. So there is room for criminal liability, absolutely.
Sheila, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Sheila, good morning to you.
Hi, Congressman Manzullo.
Sheila, how are you today?
I'm great. I'm just great. you know, we keep hearing about all this offshore drilling and what should we do, and it's like no one has been talking about this huge oil deposit up in North Dakota and Montana that is supposed to be one of the biggest deposits that we've ever had in this country, and it's like, you know, what? Why aren't we pursuing that more? Why isn't?
Well, that you're. I agree with your perspective. The safest place to drill oil is in the Anwar, and on land.
Right.
That's just the way it is. I mean, obviously you have. This isn't the first time there's been a problem with the rigs. I think it's about at least three spills that have occurred, but you don't have that problem when it's done on land, especially in the Anwar, where it's so desolate, remote, that only the elk antelope can see what's going on.
I'm sorry, I have missed a lot of your words. We're breaking up. But,
oh, okay. What I said was that the best place to drill, as you said, is in the remote areas.
Right.
On land, where you don't have the possibility of the huge spills.
Well, the problem up there is the infrastructure. It's certainly not ready for the drilling that'll be going on. But maybe the government should pursue looking up there and trying to figure out how we can get that oil out of there. Because it's there, it's ours. It's the country's greatest oil deposit and the one is called Bakken. You've heard of that, I'm sure. And then the other one is like Twin Forks or Three Forks or whatever it is. And I'm thinking we haven't, I'm not saying we should stop offshore drilling. I mean, those things are in place and everything takes time. That's the whole thing. Our country has to be more independent, more self-sufficient.
From oil.
For oil, right. Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not depend on, Chavez and the Mideast, and we got to get our.
Okay, thank you, Sheila. I appreciate your call. Let's talk to Peter on WNTA. Peter, you're on with Congressman Manzullo.
Okay, I had a two-part question. Number one was, what makes us think that Governor Jindal wasn't influenced by political reasons and that he knew that these sand berms were actually going to be successful? Now there's evidence coming out that they wouldn't have been. And the second part of the question is, what do you think of BP distributing dividends to its shareholders during this crisis?
Well, I think, BP needs to sit down and realize that they've created one of the biggest disasters in the environment in history. And this is at a time when, instead of issuing dividends, they perhaps should be taking that money and saying, look, we're going to put it into the fund to help remediate. But even if BP did not issue dividends, even if they do issue dividends, based upon their past performance, they can raise $20 billion in 3 months. It's an extraordinarily profitable firm. So they've got the money to put in there. And the second thing is, Bobby Jindal wanted to bring in the dredgers to move the sand. He wanted to create a berm that would protect the coastal area so that the sand that would get hit would be out to sea. And this is at a time when he recognized that every available method of protection and remediation should be used, even experimental ones. You've got read in the paper where the ladies from Hooters are collecting human hair and stuffing it into the pantyhose, and to use that to absorb the oil. And now some of the EPA says, well, we're not sure about whether or not pantyhose would hurt the environment. Do me a favor. So we should use every available. Anybody's got an idea, go down there and sop it up. It's better than hitting the marshes. Once that oil hits the marshes, that could be the death knell. For the aquatic life that uses the marshes. And also, the marshes are used for cleansing water. That's natural filtration system as the water comes out of, comes off the land, goes through the marshes in many places into the estuaries, and the marshes serve as fingers that pick up any pollution that would go out to sea otherwise.
I have to disagree that I think that some ill-advised solutions, just throwing everything that can possibly be suggested at the problem isn't going to be a good solution, that there's environmental reasons why actually there could be a further damage damage in the wrong direction with things that haven't been adequately thought out.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about human hair being stuffed into pantyhose to worry about that. I mean, I've seen half a dozen suggestions that use naturally absorbent agents. The biggest environmental issue, as far as Don Young is concerned, he's a member of Congress from Alaska, who obviously went through Exxon Valdez, is the red chemicals that they're putting into the to mix into the oil, because these are chemicals. The BP was asked what's in the chemicals, and BP said, "Well, that's a trade secret." And so, you know, we should be using everything that we have. Obviously, if it's injecting a chemical in, that's one thing. But there's so many methods of absorption that are out there that simply are not being used. Even Kevin Costner has a plan.
Yep. All right. Hey, Peter, thank you so much. Dan, you're on NTA with Congressman Don Manzullo.
Ken, hi, Ken.
Hi.
Hi, Don. How are you doing?
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Good. Dan. This is Dan.
Oh, Dan, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Between, this is kind of a rhetorical question, I guess, but, you know, between Exxon Valdez and what's happening in the Gulf right now, and then we just got this news over the weekend about an oil problem in Utah that is sending oil down a river to the Great Salt Lake, which I believe has been stopped now, but still, doesn't all this, what more do we need to be convinced about renewable energy?
I agree with you.
And
I'm not here yet.
You know, the technologies are in place. The infrastructure needs to be put in place, but obviously there's an economic situation with this country that does not allow us right now to make, you can't take an ocean liner and turn it around on a dime in the middle of the sea. You just can't do it. That's the analogy I draw with the economy. But above and beyond that, the politics in Washington, and even at the state and sometimes the local level, is getting in the way of this kind of progress. And I'd like to hear what you have to say along those lines. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Dan. Congressman?
We have helped out with Freedom Field at the airport, and it's now part of the wastewater treatment facility there in Rockford, to come up with alternative energy. For example, the methane that's captured from the waste is used to run three giant Caterpillar motors that actually add energy back into the grid if they wanted to, but they use that to actually run their own electrical system, and that's why the Rock River the people that run the disposal system in Rockford are actively seeking sewage from various smaller communities to come to Rockford because there's excess capacity, and then they take the methane off that and use that to run engines. I mean, solar energy is underway. We've got wind power going on. But as I said before, wind power and solar energy only make up for less than 1% of our total need. So we should do all the above. And with regard to offshore drilling, what happened there was so many people objected to seeing these rigs, that forced the rigs to go out further and further. And the further they went offshore, the deeper they got, and that increased the danger of a leak.
Jim, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Jim.
Yeah. Can you tell me about the status of unemployment extensions and how you feel about those?
Well, the unemployment extensions are in limbo now. The Illinois, I think, isn't the longest we can go is, I think, it's 99 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And we periodically have a vote. And what I try to do is when I make the vote on it is I try to make the vote to have it offset by other spending. And sometimes I've not done that. But that's where it is now. And the question becomes, at what point does Congress have to fund it, and how long should unemployment go on?
Well, it's, 15% in Rockford right now, I think?
I think it's higher than that.
Rockford is about 17%, then add 7% to that.
Yeah, and
we're at about 24%.
I know, I've been out for about a year and a half.
Right.
And the well's getting dry.
It is. It is the, but I tell you, Jim, what's contributing to your unemployment is the tremendous spending going on in Washington. It's John Boehner, who is the minority leader, met with President Obama at the White House just this past week, gave him a letter signed by 100 economists. If you think that has any credibility, I kind of worry about economists from time to time. but he said that, and I agree, that it's this excessive spending that is keeping the recovery from coming.
What percentage of unemployment benefits is compared to the national debt?
What's that, Jim?
What percentage of the unemployment extensions would compare with the rest of the spending?
It's a good question. I don't know that. I do know this, is that the unemployment extensions are probably a small part of the overall amount of spending that's going on.
Yeah. Is there any job programs heading our way?
Pardon?
Any job programs heading this way, Don?
Well, there are a lot of job programs already in existence in Rockford. But programs don't do any good unless jobs are actually created, and the stimulus bill has proved that very few jobs have been created by that.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
But Ken, people like Jim could be really helped in a couple of ways. First of all, we have to continue this housing credit, this $8,000 housing credit for buying a new home. That has shown that in Rockford, especially $8,000 is a huge amount where you could buy a real nice house for about $120,000. That's the type of stimulus, if you want to call it that. It's a tax break that allows people the ability to buy homes. And once people buy homes, that's what helps restart the manufacturing cycle. And that's what Jim needs to get back to work, is to have the manufacturing cycle restart and get the supply chains going, and that's what gets people back to work.
Wendy, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Wendy, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Wendy.
Funny you bring up the stimulus dollars and the programs that it's supposed to be funding. I just heard this morning on the news about stimulus money being used to upgrade kitchens in schools to provide better nutritious value lunches for the kids in schools. I didn't realize that stimulus money was used for things like this. There's other things that I've heard in the past, time that the stimulus has been available that it's been used for. I find it odd that, now we're funding, we've always funded school lunch, but now we're, funding upgrades in kitchens to provide more nutritious meals for them.
Well, most of the stimulus money was given to the governors to dole out as they see fit according to their programs on it. But if you take a look at that, first it started at 787, now it's about 850 billion because of the interest and everything. Only 7% of that actually went to infrastructure. That's for bridges and roads and hard items that would put people back to work. That's been one of the problems with that stimulus bill. But on the other hand, Wendy, the cap and trade, when that passed the House, or even the threat of it, cost us a lot of jobs in our congressional district. But there's a company over on the Mississippi River that makes anhydrous ammonia, urea, different products for agricultural application, that was going to convert from using natural gas as a feedstock to a coal, and it was called the Fischer-Tropsch process, and it would have spent close to $1 billion, hiring over 1,000 workers, construction workers, for 1 to 2 years, creating up to 300 jobs, and Rentec would have had that successful conversion. And ended up starting literally a prairie fire across the top of northern Illinois as to alternative forms of energy. Well, when President Obama was campaigning, he talked about carbon tax. And as soon as he mentioned carbon tax, the financing got pulled and debt improvement was stopped. So you can't talk about putting people back to work when you pass things like cap and trade, and especially this ill-fated health care bill, which has turned out to be nothing less than a total disaster, that was supposed to create 4 million jobs, and people are going to become unemployed because of it.
Wendy, thank you for your call. Congressman, our time is short. I really appreciate your time, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ken. We'll talk to you later.
All right. 9:59 at 1330 WNTA.